Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Teams that are actually competition will feel the same way once baseball gets going. The Hawks are not participating in the bubble, but I am curious, and we'll talk plenty about where the NBA is and what's going to happen down there. And, you know, most people picking the Lakers or the Clippers to probably be victorious and win the NBA championship here between now and, you know, a few months, 3 months between now and the end of the season. But also we're talking about SEC football. And, Mike, before we get to our NFL blitz, you said that all the ADs are meeting today. It's a big day because a lot of decisions moving forward will probably come out of this meeting today. Even though we may not hear about it for a few weeks, a lot of things, Mike, are being discussed.
Yeah, I know that you and I, and we've talked about this, the football, the one saving grace for the, you know, football reengaging college and pro is they've always had time. Well, before you know it, they're running out of time because last week, you know, J.J. Watt was saying, look, guys, we're one of the first games of the season with the Texans taking on the Chiefs. So it's like, you know, we got to be in camp in 3 weeks. So what's the plan, you know, and is the plan safe and is the plan workable and is everybody on board with this? So, you know, we're not talking about just the financials, which the, you know, the NFL still has to get the players union to sign off on. So, but when it comes to college, though, first Ohio State, you know, they had the issues. They had to shut down all their extracurricular stuff. People that were training there, their athletes, including football, because of the case spike in Columbus. And then from there, the Big Ten goes and says, all right, we're gonna just do conference only, then the ACC, which immediately, Carl, on the show, on the text line, people are like, what do you mean? No Georgia, Georgia Tech, no Florida, Florida State. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, if you follow the lot, let's break it down logically, okay? If you're going to go conference, again, if you're going to play somebody from a smaller directional school in some, you know, jerkwater conference, who knows what their health protocols are? I mean, is that the logic behind a no out of conference or whatever? Okay. But then, you know, where are we going to be in November? And wouldn't it still be safer for you to have a guy and a team travel from Atlanta to Athens and you go to Columbia, Missouri, you know, or College, you know, Station. So, you know, in the conference, I don't know. We're going to see where this goes. I thought you could always, you know, you can wait. You can always wait. You can always, I mean, look, they can reverse their decision, right, and roll it back if we get some good numbers. But I just thought, I didn't know what the rush was. I understand that there's, you know, there's logistics and things you got to do. I just thought they were maybe jumping the gun.
Yeah. As I said, the initial decision, you know, for the Big Ten, you know, you're looking at Ohio State. Their annual revenues are $200 million a year, okay? So when you start talking about the impact of whether they're going to actually be able to follow through with this, you know, the Ivy League shuts down. I know you guys talked about that. And people said it was funny because people hit me up and were like, who cares? It's the Ivy League. It's not the point.
No, it's a prestigious. It is what
absolutely.
It is. It's a part of the college football landscape, although you don't pay attention to it.
No, and that's not the point. I mean, it's not a matter of whether it is, you know, has the fandom of the SEC. Right. When these decisions are made, they're usually made unilaterally. They're not in a bubble. Pardon the pun. They're not. You know, the Ivy League's not making this decision and going, okay, well, we only care about us. They are making this decision, yes, based on their circumstances, but we're going to see other conferences follow along. And by the way, if, in fact, Mike, we do have only conference games, conference-only games, you're going to see other smaller conferences, just like the Ivy League, go, well, we're not playing this fall. Because they can't afford to.
Right. I mean, and the other thing is we learned from Pat Forty, because this is brought up by a lot of our listeners on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. You know, all these universities carry all this. They got a war fund, right? I mean, but that's, unfortunately, you cannot take, you know, from that, and you cannot, you know, obviously move that over to the athletic department. I mean, the endowment is for the different, you know, academic things. It's not for sports. Now, unless somebody's going to crack open the piggy bank, and then they'll start that trend, because, you know, when you hear about billions of dollars, like Stanford cut. Now, granted, don't get it twisted. I mean, how many people are going to go watch yachting or equestrian? Okay, but they were starting to cut programs that have been there for years. Other schools are having to cut it. We talked about Morehouse. You mentioned the smaller schools just can't. First off, you can't afford the testing, you know, let alone everything else that comes with it. So I'm just curious to see, you know, when what is the SEC going to say? No, we're going to be able to do this, because right now everything's in flux. I think the one thing, you had it with Willie the week before, I had it last week. The listeners deal with it every day. You're looking for some sense of, well, which way is the sky, up or down? And you're not getting that right now. You know, all you're getting is a lot of, it's here, it's okay, it's not okay over there. This conference is good, this conference is not so good. And again, let's be honest, there's no unilateral leadership on this. It's all county by county, city by city, state by state.
Yeah, the problem with college football, though, is it doesn't work. One doesn't work without the other, and that's the issue. If you go, well, screw it, SEC, just play. Well, that's great. Who are they playing in the bowl games? Who are they playing in the playoffs, if that matters? Because apparently it does when you're talking about the money. So it's not as if, well, the Pac-12 doesn't play and we don't care. This all works together. That's why it's unique. Right. And so even though we're in different parts of the country, you can't just say, well, who cares about the Big 12? Okay, well, you know what? If two of those conferences decide in the Power 5 not to play, I guarantee you the other three are going to follow suit. That's right. Just where we are.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, you could argue that, and this is purely from a football standpoint, not from a logistics and dealing with COVID-19 standpoint, that if you just did the SEC schedule and the Big 12 and the Pac-10 did their schedules, you know, whoever's going to be in the, you might actually have two teams, Carl, in the SEC by virtue of strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Because the SEC still
is going to
be, yeah, I mean, but it's just going to be so weird because, as you said, you're not going to have the, some teams may have 10 games or 9 games. Would the SEC go to a full conference only where we're going to play three teams from the Western Division? That would be something. By the way, Georgia, and we'll talk more about it coming up at 4 in the Dog Report, but they did get, now no big surprise, they got the okay for JT Daniels from the NCAA, immediate eligibility. It's all a matter of how good your lawyer is, but he was injured. He was originally the number one quarterback for the class of 19, moved it up to 18, graduated early, left USC. He's got 3 years of eligibility, by the way, Carl, so it's not just about this year. So that's great news for the Dogs.
No, and I told you guys when this all went down, a buddy of mine's on the coaching staff there. He can play. I mean, I know we don't watch USC football because it's West Coast and most times the games are on late. This kid is legit. And sometimes things happen in programs. Mike, this may be the best thing for him, mm-hmm. you know, moving on, just like for Jacob Eason and other guys that have, Justin Fields. This may be the best thing that happened for him to come to Georgia. We'll talk more about the Dogs coming up at 4 o'clock and the one thing about college football in the season that no one's talking about. It's coming up at 4. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Dukes and Bell.
Well, we started today talking about the Washington Redskins will announce they are changing their name. And, you know, Daniel Snyder, you could say he was forced to do the right thing. If you feel that way, I've said this time and time again on our show, I'm not Native American. I have one Native American friend, and I say that truly, like on the reservation. I mentioned this before, and in the conversations we've had, you know, to be honest with you, the conversations right now aren't about football. You know what they're about? COVID, because it's affecting the Native American population drastically, especially out in the New Mexico area, Arizona area. So we really haven't had this discussion. But I know some people, Mike, just like with everything, go, wait a minute. You know what? The name's been this. Why are they changing it? I will say this. I think Daniel Snyder has been forced to do the right thing. But, Mike, he could also benefit from this. This could also be something moving forward that could be the best thing. You know, you're going to have a whole new marketing campaign. You're going to have new names, new merchandise, new merch, as the kids say. Right. This could ultimately be a great move for the for Daniel Snyder and the ownership there.
Yeah, and like he, I mean, some would say, as you said, I mean, it's not like he was never going to be altruistic about this when it came towards Native Americans. No, this is about Nike pulling his merchandise off their website. This is about FedEx pulling the sponsorship from the stadium. So it was what it was, and not to mention he had some of his own partners looking to divest from the Redskins. So you knew this was coming, guys. I know that I've got you and I got a bunch of hardcore Redskin fans from Washington area, and there'll be some diehards out there. Look, I don't know they're going to ban you from wearing the gear to the stadium. I don't know where they're going to go with that. But it was kind of ironic today that the announcement comes on the old letterhead, Carl. So when you, I mean, it's a digital letterhead. So I put it on Twitter. I guess Daniel Snyder told everybody in the office, let's use all the old stationery until it's all gone. But yeah, I mean, you're right. A chance to rebrand. I think what most people would like, we said this last week, would be a new owner down there, but that's not happening anytime soon.
No. And again, he spent a lot of money in litigation to try to maintain, you know, the sovereignty of maintaining the Redskins name. Either way, this is going to be done fairly quickly. And what I mean by that is we could get to camp in a few weeks and they could have their new name. Don't know what it's going to be. I won't speculate. There's a bunch of stuff out there, but I think it could be really good for the Redskins and, or should I say Washington and Daniel Snyder for the most part. Hey man, meanwhile, let's talk about Devontae Freeman. Mike, have you heard this news about Free?
Yeah, the Campbells have apparently split from running the, Team Freeman. You know, Uncle Luke, I guess is his wife, was the representative. She got her agent's affiliation.
Get it.
And now, depending on who you believe and what we've talked about here on the NFL Blitz, we've talked about, you know, a job offer in Seattle, multi-year deal, you know, with a signing bonus. He turned it down, and now he's out there with his tin cup in his hand, and it's a shame. That's why when you're a middle-round draft pick, you better cash in on that one draft, on that one, I should say, contract. He did. But now, Carl, yeah, he's out there on the float, and unless the 49ers have a problem with Mostert, I don't know where this guy's going to wind up.
What is wrong with Free?
Bad advice. Maybe too much hubris. I mean, look, we all have ego. It's hard to be told that, look, man, you're not the man. He had 2,000-yard seasons. He got the contract, and it was never the same.
Bruh. Let me tell you. Bruh.
Bruh. You brawn me, man. Don't bra me, man.
Bruh. Let me tell you. Free. You listening? Cam Newton was an MVP in this league, and he took pennies to go play and show, again, that he's capable of doing what everybody thinks he can do. You're no different. Go take a contract for a year and show us that you can go get the job done and everything else will work itself out. This idea that, you know, the market has not changed. Everybody's market has changed. Everybody's market has changed. There's not somebody out here right now that doesn't think they should be getting more, that are getting a lot less than what they are and probably will get less moving in the future because of this damn COVID. So I don't know what the hell's wrong with Free, but when I heard this, it made me understand for a guy that's been in his life, almost his entire life, in Luther Campbell, Mike, something is wrong. You don't walk away from a relationship where a guy has been there for you as a father figure and other things in your life. Free's talked about it, and then your wife handles his deals, got him a big contract, $41 million back in 17, and now you're on the outs? Something is wrong with this dude.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had Free on the show. He was on our show regularly back in the day. And, you know, we lobbied for him to get the deal. And we talked purely from a business standpoint. Then, unfortunately, like, Falcon fans know it. They know where they've been ready to, you know, turn the page with Free for the last two seasons. So, yeah, I guess you need someone in your ear. Or maybe, you know, maybe they finally were giving him the information. He just wasn't receiving it. That, look, you've got to accept this new reality. You're not the man. You're going to be now a guy. Your football card's going to have three teams on it, you know, by the time it's all said and done.
Speaking of Cam Newton, let's hear Cam talk about Cam in the third person.
You know what make this different is they ain't never seen this Cam. They ain't never seen him. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die. It's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this seems like a... This is almost like a Wayans skit, you know what I mean? This is like, first off, the third person, you ain't never seen this Cam. I ain't never seen this Cam. I didn't know this Cam.
Left to die? Craig, you got to play that again. It's like they left to die.
Hey, by the way, we may have to make this a new intro. We may have to replace Jameis with this, you know what I mean,
for
6 o'clock.
And by the way, this video came out over the weekend. This is classic stuff. Let's hear it again.
You know what make this different is they ain't never seen this Cam. They ain't never seen him. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die. It's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
Mm-hmm. Left to die?
Left to die!
Wow. Oh, like Schwarzenegger, when they put him on that tree in Conan the Barbarian. He's left to die. So here's the thing. Last week we had Cam. Where he had this whole, and I wish we had that one on audio, where Cam's like, you know, in the jungle, when the giraffe makes some noise. I don't even know what noise a giraffe makes. You know, when the other animals make some noise. But there's only one animal. When he roars, yes, it's the lion, and Cam's going to roar. All right, look, whatever it takes to get his head right, as silly as it may sound to the outside, but this is why, and I said this last week when you were on vacation, Cam plus the Boston media equals dynamite, okay? Because this is going to get sideways like that. Now, look, let's hope he can read this new Cam that apparently he's never seen or he's been left for dead.
You know how I know? You know how I know? Because I ain't seen him.
Hopefully Josh McDaniels has an idea how to use Cam 2.0.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Craig, check that. That Mike's right. That's got to be on one of the hours there.
They ain't never seen this Cam. The forgotten Cam. I was just left to die.
Just the way he says it. Left to die.
What the hell? Were you marooned on Mars?
Well, look, I mean, we did say this. You know, the Panthers knew. Same thing happened when Arthur took over the Falcons. They kind of like, oh, that 98 Super Bowl team kind of never happened. Well, the same thing kind of happened when the Panthers' new owner comes in. Cam, he's out with the bathwater. So, look,
he
can shut up all the critics. It's a prove-it deal. You said it. He's for pennies on the dollar right now. Let's see what he can do. But it's going to be that ego in New England with that media is going to be unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We got more to get to. Hey, coming up, Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. Did he think we were as bad as we looked on Saturday? And what to look ahead to on Thursday against Cincinnati? It's next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Taking it back 35 years ago, Live Aid happened today. And so we're reminiscing, and Craig's playing some music from the actual concert. Pretty impressive stuff. We'll continue that throughout the course of the day. Appreciate all the comments. Mike, you know how I know? Because I ain't seen him. But I have seen Jason Longshore. As a matter of fact, I saw him for the first time on Saturday night on video, Facebook Live, actually. And him and Mike Conti were there calling the match, and it felt somewhat normal to see Jason and Mike calling a match. And Jason Longshore, who is the analyst for Atlanta United, joins us right now to talk about what we saw Saturday and what we might see looking ahead to Thursday. Jason, how weird did it feel to be back under these circumstances?
So it felt somewhat normal for you. It did not feel very normal for us calling it, because we called it from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So, you know, we're used to going in there to work. That's great. But there's no action on the pitch in front of us. We're watching it off a giant TV, and it's just different. You know, it's hard to pick up everything. It's a different feel, but it felt really weird until maybe 5-10 minutes into the match, and then it started to feel like, okay, now, you know, we're back in a little bit of a rhythm, Mike and I, and it started to feel like, you know, old times.
And it did feel like old times with the Red Bulls. And I know that, you know, style makes the fight, and, you know, getting some of their guys back, like Florian Bellot. And, look, it was a beautifully timed play. It's the kind of stuff that we've seen before with us, with Joseph. I mean, it's the kind of thing we can do. And they just did it early. And it just – talk about – we'll go through the game chronologically, but why were we so discombobulated on the back line?
Because you hadn't played a game in 4 months. I mean, honestly, it's that simple, and I know that sounds like an excuse and a cop-out and, you know, whatever you want to call it. You haven't played in 4 months, and you didn't have any preseason games. You trained, and training, I think, showed late in the match where Atlanta United looked really fresh and was going for it and throwing everybody forward. They didn't look fatigued. I thought the Red Bulls looked tired at the end. Atlanta did not. But early in the match, it's hard to be mentally sharp in those moments, and that's where the Red Bulls will punish you. I think we get hung up on their press a lot of times, but it's their transition play that makes them a dangerous team, and that goal is a prime example. If you go back and look at it, Franco Escobar is pushed up very high, pressuring the play. He goes in for a tackle. It's a 50-50 ball. that pops over to Tom Barlow. Tom Barlow, the forward for the Red Bulls, drops it back to Kaku first time. Kaku first time, no touch, one single pass, through, splits all the defenders. Florian Vilo keeps his composure and beats Brad Kazan. It was that simple for them because they were sharp in a moment that they thrive in, and Atlanta's back line was pulled apart in a moment that they weren't quite ready for, and they got better as the night went on, but they were punished early, and they couldn't find the goal to make up for it.
Jason Longshore, our guest, talking about Atlanta United. We lose 1-0. Thursday, we'll take on Cincinnati. Speaking of the match, what stood out to you then? Because, again, we can talk about all the things that didn't feel right or look right, whether it was timing or the fact they haven't played in 4 months. Okay, so what felt right then? What did look good?
As the night went on, I think the attack looked better and better. Ezequiel Barco took a knock in training, and not having him for 90 minutes or even more than 30 was a big loss for Atlanta United. When he came on, things looked even better. I thought Adam John came on and looked really good and made the attack, you know, a little simpler, a little easier to follow, and a little more cohesive. I think it was difficult early on with Manuel Castro, with Mateo Sotetu, in their first start with the team, and in a front three that I think could be very dynamic, but it takes some time to build that chemistry, and it looked a little disjointed early on. But you created 10 chances on the night. You had 4 shots on. You created 10 chances. You didn't have bad passing numbers against the Red Bulls, which generally happens. You completed big switches. You were doing all the things that you want to do in the build-up phase of play and in the midfield third. The final third wasn't good enough, and it came back to bite you because you created the chances to get a result here, but you couldn't find the back of the net.
It's our man Jason Longshore. He and Mike Conte again continue to have the call as this MLS is back tournament continues. In this, again, we got no margin for error now, Jason, and talk about that. But also, I thought Bello did a really nice job. It was. Am I being too hard on Hazeto? Seemed like we were a lot of turnovers. I mean, I know the Red Bulls caused that, but we coughed it up a lot.
You really didn't, though. And that's the thing. When you look back at the numbers and you look at how many times Atlanta United was dispossessed, you know, the Opta numbers come back with 6. That's probably a low ever. Against the Red Bulls. The passing percentage was over 80%, might be the highest. I think with Hosetu, in the role he was in, I found that chemistry with Pitti Martinez, who I thought was excellent on the night, and Manuel Castro, because Hosetu's touches, a lot of them came out wide, and a lot of them came fairly deep around midfield. There wasn't enough touches, especially in the first half. In that final third, inside the 18, it took too long for Atlanta United to find those combinations. It got much better with Ezequiel Barco coming on. And I think it really did get better with Adam John. I thought he came on and gave you a good performance late. And it wouldn't surprise me if he gets the start on Thursday after that performance.
Jason, let me ask you something. Some people say it's hypothetical. What if we had Gressel, LGP, Darlington Nagbe? Did you think there would have been a different result with the experience that was on that club and experience that we lost this offseason?
It's not about the individuals, but it's about the people playing together. Because, you know, you mentioned Castro and Hosetu and Pitti, they'd never played together. The back line had never played together this season with Meza, with Robinson, with Escobar. And when you're in a moment where you're trying to find chemistry, it's hard when you don't get the games to do it. If this situation had happened, which you couldn't predict a global pandemic that would stop the season for 4 months, but if you knew you were going to have a 4-month break, you'd like to have as much continuity as possible. It would have made it easier in those moments because you wouldn't have needed as many preseason games to get through it. But the individuals, I think the performance was good enough to get a result. The final bit of quality, I mean, we saw it with Castro's clubbed chances. It wasn't good enough in the final third, and You have to find the back of the net, and Atlanta did not do it.
Jason Longshore is with us, guys. Follow him at Longshoe. He'll answer all your questions. He'll dialogue with you. He'll talk soccer. Any game that's being played in the world, he's like he knows about it. It's like ESP. He can give you information on it. Jason, I thought that Brad Kazan did a fantastic job because, you know, let's be honest, if Brad doesn't make 2 amazing saves, we might have lost 3-0.
Yeah, 4 shots on target for the Red Bulls. They had 6 on the night. The best save I thought he had was the one on Daniel Royer. Gave Atlanta a little bit of confidence. Royer timed his run perfectly, stayed onside. And Brad stayed big on that near post and made the save with his left leg. That's experienced goalkeeping, and that's what Brad Kazan gives you in spades. I thought his throws were a really important part of Atlanta's attack as the night developed, too. You know, a lot of times we see Brad with those punts or those kicks into the corners of the midfield or of your half. He started to throw low and out wide to Bello, to Mulroney, to Brooks Lennon, and open the game up. That was a really nice little bonus that we haven't seen as much from Brad Kazan. But you mentioned Bello a minute ago. About Bello and his first start since the beginning of the 2019 season with the first team was really good and nearly had a goal to show for it.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
Hit
the crossbar, right?
Yep.
Off the crossbar was a good ball from Pitti Martinez, and Bello was dangerous throughout, and I thought he got better defensively throughout. That's the part of his game that he can continue to improve. But he was better by the time he came off from when he started, and that's what you want to see with a young player.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's fair to say, it's Jason Longshore, analyst for Atlanta United. We'll ask you about Cincinnati here in a second, but it's fair to say our club's going to get better. I'm not worried, you know, or any of that. I mean, like you just said, I mean, it's been 4 months. Would I have liked to get a W? Of course. But I do think more time on the pitch together, and we're going to be fine. I really think this club will come into its own and you know, will find itself, as we've seen our other teams over the last few years. What about Cincinnati? What should we know heading into Thursday?
Cincinnati's a team you have to win this match because 3 points – can get you through in this kind of scenario where four third-place teams get through. It might only be 3 points that you need to get to the knockout round. Cincinnati's the team that's a little more likely after that last result where Columbus took care of them 4-0. I thought Cincinnati looked good in the first 10-15 minutes. When they gave up the goal to Zellerion, their heads dropped and confidence was absolutely gone, and they were shredded by the Crew as the night went on. So you need to take advantage of those moments. I think the movement up top is going to be key in a game like this. That's why maybe Adam John, with his size and his just ability to be that outlet if needed, can occupy the center backs for Cincinnati, who struggled. Kendall Watson struggled on Saturday night. I thought a lot of times Jossie Zardes was finding space to the outside of Watson and to the inside of the right back, Saad Abdul-Salam. That's a great spot where we see Pitti Martinez pop up very often. Adam John can get into that role as well. You want to get into those pockets of space because Cincinnati, this will be game two under Jaap Stam, their new manager. They looked disjointed when they got put under pressure. You want to put them under pressure early.
Hey, just real quick before we cut you loose, because I know I heard you talking about, again, listen to guys, you can just sync up. It's the easiest way is go to radio.com, and you can sync up Jason and Mike. And I did not like the pumped-in crowd noise. That's why I immediately went to you guys. But I heard you talking about it. When the ref is allowing the physicality of the Red Bulls, is that just always going to be a long night for us? Because Pitti was just getting mugged, and anytime we touched somebody on their side, we'd get the yellow card.
Yeah, it was a tough refereeing assignment for Atlanta because as you get to know the referees in the league, Alan Chapman is one who doesn't blow the whistle very often, and he throws a lot of cards typically. And that's why I expected, and I think you could hear my frustration in it as the night went on, because it became a tactic for the New York Red Bulls. Pitti Martinez was beating people on the dribble with ease, and he was getting fouled, which is the smart play. It's what you have to do as a defender. We saw Franco Escobar get a yellow. Very similar situation in the first half. Pitti himself got a yellow, very similar situation. But there were no yellows to the Red Bulls, and you have to protect the players like Pitti Martinez. You know, talented, skillful players, when they're fouled five times in a match and there's no yellow to show for it, something's disconnected.
Jason, always good to have you on, man. This feels normal because we do this at least twice a week, usually once at the beginning and then heading into the weekend. And so we look forward to our visits, man, as our team continues to grow. Thursday matches at 9 a.m., correct? 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. We'll be on at 8:30 with the Five Stripes countdown. We'll have the full-time report after the match. Hey, it might be the first time we've ever had a check-in where I come on with you guys on a match day after the game's been played.
I know. That's true.
Man,
it's weird.
That's a little early for me. I'm going to really have to get my work on that. Wow, holy cow.
Hey, Jason, take care, man. Be safe, and we'll listen on Thursday, brother.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, man. There it is, Atlanta United. Mike, we were both disappointed in the performance. It was poor. But to Jason's point, and again, I know some people be like, yeah, I just didn't like the way they played. Things will get better. They will. And I'm not worried. Yeah.
that's a nemesis of ours. As we said there at the end, it's you knew it was going to be kind of a long evening the way the game was being officiated, too. All right, Carl, when you're on vacation, when you're not around, I got trouble because, you know, as you guys know, a good radio show is like Gumby and Pokey. And Carl is like my Pokey to talk me out of really bad decisions. And I was about to make one over the weekend, including moving out of the city. Carl will explain why I should not do that. It's going to come up next as part of Guy Talk. Stay tuned.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn right. Yeah, the band's back together. I posted a photo of an old Miami Vice promotional shot of, and then a guy said, "You guys ever do that?" And I found the old photo of you and me dressed up as Crockett and Tubbs. So it's up there at Mike Bell ATL. It's always great to have my boy back. My boy Blue, as Carl is back from vacay. Great job, by the way, everybody who participated. I know, Carl, you saw the pictures. And our Dukes of Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. We're going to talk more with the guys from Buckhead Butcher Shop on Friday's edition. But yeah, man, we had a great, great effort. A lot of different varieties of cool stuff that dudes and ladies were cooking this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, the hard part is, like, we've been doing this, I don't know, 15 weeks, whatever, it's almost. Yeah. So it becomes one of those things where you start to recycle some meats. Maybe you try something different. We know, you know, King Conti's over there doing different things. Mm-hmm. But it's just fun to experiment. Here's the thing. Honestly, like, Mike and I, we'll never know, Bo, Mike Conti, we'll never know how good it is. Anyway, but it looks good in the pictures, and if you try something new, that's what it's really all about. I mean, honestly, you could be like, this is the best thing ever. It could suck. We'd never know.
Well, the presentation, I mean, at the very least, some guys could definitely be doing work for restaurants as far as TV commercials, because if you ever watch, like, local cable commercials, you ever see, like, those old-school commercials and how bad the food looks because they don't shoot it well, they don't light it
That's
well?
Right. That's
well, I mean,
right.
Our guys definitely know how to make their food look great. Now, as Carl said, hopefully it tastes as good as it looks. What was that, Archie Bell and the Drells? We've danced, you know. We sing even better than we dance. Anyway, hey, man, real quick, before I get to some of the stories, while you were off last week, and I had just come back from vacation, and Carl went out, and I was in the great wide open spaces. I caught up with some old friends of mine who live on houses. Some of my buddies live out in the sticks, like in West Virginia or in North Carolina, and they got property, and my father-in-law's got property. So then I come back, and, you know, look, I live in a condo. You guys, I post the pictures almost nightly of me smoking a cigar out on the balcony. I got an amazing view, but Carl, I got to tell you, you know, when you come home after all that, you're like, man, I might need space, like, you know, my own back 40. So guess what I started doing? I contacted realtors and we started looking at houses. Yeah, I started looking at houses, making out the big city. Yeah. Well, no, Becky, she's like lukewarm on this idea. She's like getting horror stories from all the empty nesters who live in our building.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a Stephen King novel. It's like, and we came home and the pool filter, it burned out. You know, yeah. Or like, you know, she's like, look no further than Carl. You know, Carl comes home and now your upstairs bathroom is now in your kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Becky, she's basically talked me off the ledge.
I will tell you this year, and not completely out of pocket, but I will tell you that we've spent more money. Now, here's the other part of it. And again, if you're a homeowner, you guys, you know, you may go 25 years and never have a problem. And then that 1 year, and this year happened to be that 1 year where for us, you know, multiple homes over the years, no issues, been great, built a house or two. But this year, probably 50 grand easily worth of stuff that has happened that needed to be fixed. And so, you know, that's the 1 year, Mike, where you chalk it up, and they call it insurance for a reason, right? Just right. In case something happens. You chalk it up to, all right, so, you know, you paid X amount of years on the insurance and nothing ever happened. You felt like you were being gypped and, God, why are we paying all this money? And then the 1 year you need it, thank God you had it, because right. You're going, oh, there was no way that you could have came out of all of this money. And especially under the environment that we're in, where a lot of folks, mm-hmm. You know, the deal for us, and I'm just saying this personally, it took way longer to get stuff fixed because we were in the middle of it when COVID happened. So in March, you had guys, literally contractors going, I'm not going to work. I'm not coming to anybody's house. So we had to push stuff back and back. It's not a horror story because I love our house and everything is working great and we got a bunch of new stuff now. But to your wife's point, mm-hmm. if it goes bad, it goes bad sometimes, and you can have a lot of other things that you could be paying for.
No, because like I said, Betty, we sit down at the pool. Becky talks to the, we have a, there's two couples, both in their mid-50s, late-50s. All the kids are in college.
Wait, let me ask you this. What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Here's what I want. Here's, tell me what you want.
What do you want?
I don't want an HOA fee. I don't want neighbors. I want to have space. I want to have a pool. I want a garage where I can work on a car. I want enough spots, land for a big dog.
Okay.
I can just open them out. They can just run around and take a dump and come back in the house. These are the things that I'm interested in. But again, Becky says it's just a phase, and I will walk my way out of it.
I love it. It's just a phase.
Well, I get home and I call my father because I got a great relationship with my father-in-law, Ike. You know, we get together. It's Mike and Ike, and I go to Ike. I go, man, I saw some great houses in Alpharetta, Roswell. I looked at a farm down like in Griffin. Becky's like, what the hell are you going to do in Griffin, Georgia? I go, I don't know. Just commune with nature.
Look at all this space out here.
There was a barn. Craig came up with the idea. I showed pictures to Craig. Craig said, you could turn the barn into a garage. You could go buy cars. I'm like, yeah. Becky's like, where's all this money coming from? I go, I don't know. But anyway, talk to my father-in-law, and he's like, you don't own the house. The house owns you.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, okay. And you know, I got it from Sergeant Hulka. So I'm like, all right, slow my roll. I'll chill out. All right, speaking of families and communing and getting it together, one of the cool things the last couple of years, or maybe you thought it was a little too Hollywood, is the red table discussions that you've seen with Will Smith and with Jada Pinkett, Jada's mom. You know, the kids are involved, you know, all this. What do you make? Because you and I were talking about this off the air. Will Smith, I mean, if you have an open marriage and your wife is going to have a relationship and then you're going to talk about that on television?
Wait a minute. It's not an open marriage, Mike. It was an entanglement.
So,
come on now.
Well, the best part, and by now I would think most of our audience has heard the story, has read some of the articles. At the very least, you may have seen it in People magazine when you're checking out at the store. Well, I thought the funniest aspect of this whole story goes down when 50 Cent reaches out to Will Smith, and he does it on the direct message, on the DM. It goes down in the DM. So 50 Cent shares a screenshot of his private conversation, which again, you're not really supposed to do, right, Carl?
No.
But Fitty reaches out to Will Smith after Jada Pinkett confirmed she had a fling with the R&B singer August Alsina while the couple briefly separated. The rapper, 50, took to Instagram and he says, yo, Will, you all right over there? And he comes back with, yes, I'm cool. I appreciate your concern, my brother. And of course, 50 comes back with, but why she tell you that blank on a show for everybody to see? Will comes back, well, we broke up. So she did her and I did me. And then 50 comes back with, she said only she can give permission for somebody to blow her back out.
She did. That's true. 50 was a liar, but 50 was being a jerk, though.
Will Smith responds with, blank you, 50. And that was all. And he puts it all there. I just thought, and this was a question. I was talking about this with other friends of mine. And Aki and I, we were talking about this while we were playing golf on Saturday. Do you feel now, and this has happened to other people, you have celebrities, but they maintain their realness. You know, I mean, it's Neverland out there. We get that. Do you think now that Will and Jada have kind of crossed over into that, like that Twilight Zone that some celebrities live in?
No, I have a different opinion about them, Mike, because here's the other side of this. And you know, when you were out, this story hit. We actually played the August Alsina interview that he did in talking about this and Will giving him permission and all of that. And then so I didn't know where this was going to go. And obviously being out last week, you know, the whole thing happened. And I have watched the Red Table Talk because I've watched other discussions about their marriage and relationships and all this stuff. Here's the deal. I'll say this. People say they have unconditional love for the person they're in love with or that they're married to. Most don't. And when you say that, you're actually saying, I'm willing to deal with some, as they said, some blank that most people can't deal with. And the reality is, I hate to say this, most people have dealt with a lot more stuff than they're willing to admit publicly. So when I see Will and Jada, I actually see them more real than being phony about it. They didn't have to own any of this.
But isn't that, but I guess the point, and once Alsina goes public with the interview, as you said, the toothpaste out of the tube, but some people, and I read some of these articles too, saying, I mean, isn't that something between a husband and a wife? That, you know, or because once you go down the road of some of these red table discussions, everything's got to be open for discussion.
I'll say this, and Will mentioned it, you know, Black Twitter kind of went crazy about this whole situation. And so when they did, and when it did, they had to address it. We don't live in a world where you can't address it, because then people are just going to run with it. I think they had to address it. Not that they wanted to. I think she even said at the beginning of the interview that, you know, I wanted to keep this private. But, you know, that's the part about being superstars, man, right? I mean, when you're out there and you're trying to share all this stuff and you're putting information out there and then people go, what happened? You can't sit back and not be you know,
no prevalent. Comment, right?
Yeah,
right.
Prevalent for 2 years when you've been out there the whole time. So I'm glad they addressed it. Listen, ultimately it is their business, but yeah, 50 was a jerk and it was funny the way he did that. But then my whole thing with 50 was, you're 50 and you're Will Smith. Call him. You knew you were setting him up for that. I mean, if you really wanted to see how Will was doing, call him. And that's why I think that was a jerk move by him. You know, Will, are you okay over there? Bro, you got his number. Y'all are stars. Text him.
A little disingenuous is what you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, absolutely.
But everybody, but I'm glad. It's an interesting point that you bring up. But that was a story that was like really like, okay. Because it's like, you know, like on a much lower scale. Obviously, when you do radio, we share our experiences and we always keep it real, Carl. But I
said, Mike,
that
real quick.
To me, that one was like, whoa, that was out there. But I guess you had to. You're right.
Yeah, I just felt like they had to address it because, again, it wasn't going anywhere. Guy says that conversation between 50 and Will wasn't real. I don't know if it was or wasn't. I saw the verification on it. It looked real. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but it was funny. Nevertheless, even if it wasn't, to say what he said was funny.
Made me chuckle. That's why I included it in Guy Talk. We got plenty more to get into. Last week, also, while you were gone, I'll save this for 5:40. I stood up for my rights as a consumer. I complained and the squeaky wheel got the grease. Details coming up at 5:40. Stay tuned.
All right, stay there. Coming up.
You need to say clearly what happened.
Yeah, and then I got into an entanglement.
Entanglement,
with
yeah.
August, that's what I said.
An entanglement?
Yes.
Yes. It did make me laugh too, an entanglement. All right, coming up. What people are not talking about when it comes to the college football season, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.